A House panel has voted on legislation concerning the Food and Drug Administration and tobacco regulation. Mary Agnes, can you recap that for us?
The House Energy and Commerce Health Subcommittee voted 18-9 to approve legislation that would require the FDA to regulate tobacco. The measure would require the FDA to regulate tobacco companies' marketing practices, evaluate product claims, control the amount of nicotine in products, and dictate warning labels. The measure would not, however, allow the FDA to ban tobacco. The legislation is similar to a measure that the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee approved August the 1st.
Were there any changes made to the bill during the markup?
Two Republican amendments were adopted by voice vote. One would require any regulation stemming from the measure to undergo the standard rulemaking process rather than be allowed to avoid it. Another amendment would require that tobacco regulation be funded entirely from user fees levied on tobacco companies to cover the cost of FDA regulation, and the amendment would bar the FDA from shifting money from other areas if user fees are insufficient.
Separately, the full House Energy and Commerce Committee passed legislation dealing with brain injury treatment. Can you tell us about that, Mary Agnes?
The measure would renew the Traumatic Brain Injury Act, which authorizes the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to provide state grants for patients with traumatic brain injury to enter treatment and rehabilitation programs. Although the law expired in 2005, Congress has continued to fund the programs.
What else would the bill do?
It would require the CDC to monitor brain injury incidents and create a reporting system to track the condition. The agency would also study treatment techniques, and the National Institutes of Health would be directed to conduct basic research to improve treatment. The measure would also authorize a study on improving access to care for veterans with traumatic brain injury.
Medical researchers recently testified before Congress about their concerns with the current level of funding for the National Institutes of Health. Mary Agnes, what happened there?
A group of leading science academics told the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee that a lack of new funding at NIH is discouraging young researchers away from science and is endangering the future of medical innovation and cures.
The researchers also released a study on medical research funding. What did the study say?
The analysis, which was co-authored by 7 science research institutions, found that while Congress doubled the NIH budget for research from 1998 to 2003, funding has remained flat for the last 5 years, which is resulting in fewer research grants being awarded. In 1999, 32% of proposals presented to the NIH for funding were awarded grants. 8 years later, the study found, the NIH turned down 3 out of every 4 grant proposals submitted for consideration, which the report authors say is discouraging many young scientists from pursuing a career in academic research.
A Senate panel has approved legislation to reauthorize President Bush's Global AIDS program. Could you give us the details?
The Senate Foreign Relations Committee approved a 5-year, $50 billion reauthorization of the Global AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria Plan. Panel members agreed to hold amendments until floor consideration, which also helped speed the committee's action on the bill.
How would the funding be used?
It calls for balanced funding among abstinence, fidelity, and condom programs, and it would require a report to Congress if abstinence and fidelity programs fall below 50% of AIDS prevention spending in a given country. The measure would also direct 10% of the money to orphans and vulnerable children. Our requirement in the existing law that at least 1/3 of HIV prevention funds go towards abstinence until marriage programs has been removed.
What's the next step?
The timetable for Senate action is uncertain, but the House version of the bill is expected to see floor action the first week of April. Lawmakers are hoping to get a bill to the White House before July so President Bush can seek commitments from other countries at the Group of Eight summit in Japan beginning July the 7th.
The fiscal 2009 budget resolutions passed by the House and Senate contain provisions dealing with health care. What areas of health care are discussed in those measures, Mary Agnes?
The House budget resolution includes instructions that, if adopted in a House-Senate conference, would allow Medicare legislation to move through the Senate with a protection against a filibuster if the measure reduces the federal deficit.
And the Senate version of the budget resolution?
One amendment to the Senate budget resolution would provide an additional $2.1 billion in funding for the National Institutes of Health, while another provision would give $375 million more to the Food and Drug Administration. The number of Americans who could be eligible for the Medicare drug program's low-income benefit would be increased. Another amendment while a non-binding sense of the Senate, as it's known, amendment stated that proposed Bush administration regulations on Medicaid should not undermine the program's health coverage guarantees or shift Medicaid cost burdens to the states.
Will these provisions become law?
While the budget resolution is non-binding, the amendments certainly point to congressional priorities and could become law if lawmakers decided to delay final action on fiscal 2009 spending until after President Bush leaves the White House.
Thank you for your time, Mary Agnes Carey, for Congressional Quarterly.